All right, well, we're live, man. We are back. GYGB War Report Show. My man Trent in the building. Was goody, was goody.
Oh, man, I'm ready to get the outside. And just
yo, right?
Bro, listen, I'm serious, bro. I was looking at some pictures from last year. It's my birthday coming up. My birthday Sunday. And we was all dark, sleep. We was all downtown at some, like, this indoor, outdoor little spot that played live music. You know what I mean? When you come back up top, it's a spot I would love to take you to, like, just a year ago. So when you see stuff like that, you get a little sad, man. It's like,
it's a different world, man. It really is a different world right now. I mean,
especially in Florida, where y'all at, y'all get about to be at.
I mean, yeah, like, the beaches are open for the most part, you know, but there really isn't a sense of normalcy, man, and that goes across the board, man. Just your everyday life, and you know, just basic stuff, like you kind of have to think twice about. And even us being sports fanatics, we're kind of, you know, we're sitting here like waiting to see whatever pops off with, you know, the NBA and the NFL. But obviously we're boxing heads, and we're starting to see the early stages of boxing getting rolled out. But I mean, we've had it back, you know, I mean, at the very least, like one outfit, right? Like Top Rank been back. But we've been talking, man, like where are the PBC and where are DAZN, man? Because if you guys look on ESPN's schedule, I thought I heard something that they were going to plan something in July, but there's really nothing, man, outside of, again, like some Top Rank, very low
tier
fights. I mean, I really don't know. I mean, me and you have been joking around for like the better part of like a month and a half or two, like saying 2020 is a wrap.
I mean, bro, look, you know, we always joke about the boxing calendar. It's only broken down into three sections.
Right.
You're already a third through that section already, and the next leg is the fall, and there's no fights on the docket. And listen, most people, favorite fighters is either on DAZN or PBC, because DAZN obviously got Canelo, right? Triple G, these are the household names in boxing. And then you go over to PBC, obviously Spence, Danny Garcia, Charlo Twins. I mean, I can go on and on. But for the most part, the colorful quotes guys, the guys that draw the headlines, they don't have no fights on the docket right now. And I don't know how a sport can survive, you know, without the stars, you know, being, to your point, there's no fight sign. There's nothing in black and white and ink. And Bob Arum, I think, because he has that deal with ESPN, and ESPN is the worldwide leader in sports, that network never shut down. Like, even through this whole thing, they still got people doing all their programming, like First Take and Get Up, all these other shows that they got, and that network never stopped, you know. So Bob is in a kind of a unique and a different situation by being with them, I think, where Al is all over, you know, with his contracts, you know. So I don't know, man, it's going to be an interesting play out with this whole thing. And I was joking before we got on air talking about Florida, Texas, you know, a lot of the southerner states are getting hit, because I'm up top. You know, I'm in Philly in the greater Northeast, where y'all was looking at us like my cousin lived in Atlanta. He was like looking at us like we was like astronauts up here with masks and suits on, you know, because everything was shut down up here.
Yeah, right.
It was a little bit more relaxed where you guys are. So now it's starting to, the cases are picking up down the south. So you wonder how that's going to affect everything as we go forward. So it's just a whole lot to get into, like, before we even get into the boxing aspect of it.
Yeah, you're right, man. I mean, and I think you brought up a good point too, as far as when you think about the big stars in boxing, right? That we're kind of waiting to see, like, who's Canelo gonna fight?
He's the biggest guy in boxing.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Other than Pacquiao, but you know what I mean? But he's kind of.
He's another one, too. I mean, we kind of don't know. Errol Spence, I mean, he says he wants to jump into a fight with Danny Garcia. Now I'm hearing again it might be a tune-up fight.
Of course it will be. Yeah, of course.
And you made a really good point, man, as far as boxing does hold. It is held at, you know, certain generations, you know, by several different fighters. There might be like one or two that stand over the bunch as far as like superstars. And but I think it's hard to kind of see like how boxing is going to thrive. I mean, I think a lot of sports are taking hits. Don't get it twisted, but I think in general, boxing likely is going to take a hit this year in the sense of these fighters, the top-notch guys. We understand what it is as far as like purses and these demands. And if you got no crowds, and I just don't think there's a big fight unless we're proven wrong and things change in the next 3-4 months. It's just, to your point, I don't see where just everyday life, that's going to be a normalcy, you know, like people coming back. I mean, we got the NFL going to start, you know, in the next couple months. How's that going to look? So boxing always takes like that backseat to them. So what does Canelo do? Who does he fight? But
here's the thing, right? For a guy like Canelo, like, he can afford to sit out a year, right?
Right.
Triple G, you know what I mean? Like, right. But I look at the lesser tier guys, the guys.
It's rough out here, man.
Listen, being a fighter, just on a regular, everything is normal year. Yeah. It's tough financially when you break down a purse, you know. Mm-hmm. So now you're talking about not getting no purses at all for an entire calendar year.
Right.
Where, like I said, a guy like Triple G, even a guy like Crawford, like, they're okay financially, you know, to miss out and not box at all for an entire year. Where these other guys, and listen, boxing, there's no pensions, you know, there's no unemployment in boxing, you know, there's no union, there's nobody, there's no fillers, there's no protection as far as finances go, so you kind of just on your own.
Right.
And, you know, boxing, the gates, and you talked about this the last time we did a live, we talked about the gates, you know, people don't realize this. Boxing is the one sport, that's why you always hear the word gate.
Yeah.
The gate is a big part of how these guys
huge.
Are, how they're paid, and how you profit, the profit margin of the sport. The gate is everything.
And now, and to touch on that, yeah, and I think it's a lot to do with the level of the guys that we were talking about, like the Canelos and the Errol Spences, and, you know, we're gonna talk about Terrence Crawford in a minute. Like, these guys, they. I don't want to say they fully rely, but those guys are the ones that get those type of things negotiated into their contracts. You know, however, like the split is what it is. But I think this is where it's going to get tricky for when we see who these high level guys end up fighting, and or if they fight at all, no crowds. When does that come back? And I mean, it's, I don't know, man. It's really a big unknown. But
you know what's crazy, Roberto? I was talking to my cousin about this, right? He's, you know, me and him talked about the NFL. He was saying that he doesn't think the NFL will cancel. And I was like, well, hold on for a second. Because there's a guinea pig out there, a huge one, and it's called the NBA. Like, the NBA about to be the litmus test for everything, because – it's the biggest product on the block right now that's getting ready to start back up. Right. You know, no disrespect to any other sport that's out there, but, you know, there's really two major sports in the United States that runs everything. NFL being one, and the NBA being in a close second. So the NBA is getting ready to do something unfathomable, like, that they didn't think they could do 2 months ago. They're going to play in a bubble, as you know, Roberto, not too far north or south of Europe, in Orlando, where they can't leave. Everybody stays. And we're going to see how this works. This thing going to succeed and to be the precedent going forward for everybody else, or it's going to flop and it's going to mess up everything. So the NBA is kind of the linchpin to where we need to get to next, speaking in sports terms specifically. You feel me? Like,
right.
This joint has to succeed, because if it doesn't, it's going to mess everything up for everybody else.
I agree. I totally agree. And I think that's kind of like what boxing was doing, or has been doing right now, man, is kind of following suit. I mean, we've seen with the UFC's been, you know, they've been doing their fights, and they kind of almost in a way seeing like what everybody's doing and figuring out like what the best approach is going to be. And look, nobody's going to be perfect. Nobody knows.
No, yeah. It's a learning process.
Right. Sure. You know, and we even had Jorge Pedraza. I forgot who he was going to fight. That fight got postponed because one of the people in this camp tested positive. Jamel Herring, that we heard I think yesterday, he tested positive. He had a defense coming up. That got postponed. So, I mean, so think about this. Think of like the high level fighters,
right?
And this happens. You know what I'm saying? So there's a lot on the line here, man. And I think there's just a lot of, again, like I'm saying it a lot, like uncertainty, yo. Like whether it's with boxing and other sports, because it's really gonna set the tone for really, man, I mean, the next several months to come, and maybe even the year, as it concerns just like how we're going to be able to conduct, I mean, let's just say in this case, fight. You know what I'm saying? At some point, these guys are going to have to fight, you know, whether it's the Canelos of the world. And
yeah, I think once you have a plan in place, like, because it's probably going to be without fans, or a very little capacity. Right. Not probably. It's not going to be without fans, because we're even talking about going, look, because it's almost July already. And, you know, the summer goes by so quick. Let's keep it a buck. Like, it's not that's going to really change from July to September.
Right, exactly.
It's
right.
Going to be pretty much the same. People still will be walking around with masks. Cases still going to spike in certain areas. And we still because everybody grasping their straws. Nobody knew what the hell to do with this thing.
Right.
Even the people that get paid to try to figure this out. And I'm not trying to come at nobody. You know, people are trying.
It is what it is, though. Yeah.
It is what it is. You know what I mean? It's, some of it's funny, like, oh, you can't be 6 feet. But what happened if I'm 6 feet and an inch next to someone? Okay. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and then there's the whole thing with the mask. I don't want to get into
that. Yeah, I know.
Let's stick it to strictly to our sport. Our beloved sport, and which is boxing, and right now there's pretty much one promotion company that's putting on cards, and that's Top Rank, and that's right. Because of their business alliances with ESPN. ESPN is tied to the major sports that I just spoke on. So, mm-hmm. You know, call it dumb luck or smart business. It just Bob Arum happened to just hitch his wagon to a smart bet, basically. You know, where, and again, and I'm not trying to put these guys out there that's going to come out wrong, but these fights are like lab rat fights. Let's see how this works. See how it does before we put our big fish back into the pond. You know, when we start talking about the Lomachenkos and so on and so forth. So before we get into those fights, let's put these little mom and pop cards together and see how it works. You know, of course, people are going to watch it because it's nothing new. You know what I'm saying? But the financial investment and financial return still got to make sense when you start getting into the bigger guys. Like you said, Roberto, it's easy to put on these cards where the financial return is not as expected versus when you start dealing with the bigger guys, you know, like a Tyson Fury, you know, who's at the top of the food chain.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just curious to see how all this works. I can't harp on this enough about the NBA. I'm telling you, man, like, the world is watching and see how this thing works, because if this do work, now you can't do it in the NFL, and I don't know how this will work in boxing, so-called bubble, but if you do have two fighters, right, that's going to fight, I mean, is it crazy? Is it out of the question to ask both of these fighters to ship them out to Big Bear somewhere, or even if you just have them train in Vegas, just keep them in a Vegas bubble? Like, it's, I know I read some articles, they talked about doing that, like, is that like too far fetched to ask? Would fighters want to do that? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's something that, you know, to ponder.
Yeah, I mean, It's so much, man. It's so much because you're trying to envision like we've been trying to see with some of these fights where, okay, it's like we've seen the lower level dudes, but it's like you try to envision like the guy we want to talk about, Terrence Crawford. We're trying to envision him against, like, I don't know, like whether it be Sean Porter or, you know, the guy that, you know, we're hearing about as far as a potential. But you make points about, you know, with these guys, I mean, you know, with their purses, and you think about the gate, and you think about what it does cost, man, to put on a level of these kind of fights. And
right.
Somebody's taking an L. Like, that's the thing. Like, somebody, whether it's the network, whether it's the promoter, whether it's the fighter, like, ultimately, like, somebody's taking an L. And I that's why I'm just kind of thinking for 2020, we may just see a lot of just filler fights, you know, man. But we are hearing, again, like, Terrence Crawford's been, you know, speaking of Top Rank, he is been or has been. I mean, you have Lomachenko there, but I mean, when you talk about a guy who's really been there, now think about it, for like close to 10 years, man, getting close to, Terrence Crawford is one of these guys, man. You know, obviously Pacquiao has always been like the darling for Top Rank, but as far as the newer batch of fighters, I mean, Terrence Crawford has been like the most highly touted that I think Top Rank has had. I mean, people want to compare the Lomachenko and everything, but being that Crawford, it has really been at a point where I think a lot of us are just waiting to see, all right, he's missing that superstar level fight. And every time we think he's getting closer and closer, it gets, you know, it keeps getting like sucked back. So we're hearing, and I'll pass it to you. You know, we're hearing this rumbling. At first, we're hearing about Kell Brook,
right?
But hell, being that the travel and just, it's a fight that I think people have been more adamant about not wanting to see than wanting to see. But now we're hearing about Jordanes Ugas, you know, and listen, this guy seems to be, even though he's with Al Haymon and he fights under the PBC, the only guy that has fought him out of that outfit has been Sean Porter, and you could argue that fight could have gone either way. So
that was a very tough fight for Sean Porter. Yeah,
I mean, what do you think of that fight, man? Because, you know, we're looking for Crawford to get in with like a top level welterweight, and this is a star, you would think, right?
I called him. What did I say? He's the like the 10th, 9th step on the ladder. On the 8-foot ladder, right? You know, on the 8-foot ladder, he's not all the way up. He's not the ladder, the top, but he's like that somewhere in the middle. You know what I mean? And listen, man, he's one of these guys. You know, before we got on air, you and I was talking about it. And he's a tough, rugged, but big guy. You know, muscular, looks the part. You know, you look at the guy; he got muscles in his head. You know, if he was making a movie about a villain of a fighter, he put the picture perfectly. You know, and he fights great in the pocket. He's a good pocket fighter. Risky, definitely risky. To your point, you know, Sean Porter is a guy, and I'm gonna quote Julian Williams here, the Friday before he fought Errol Spence, and Julian and J. Rob Williams said, I never saw anybody beat up Sean Porter ever, and I know him back from the amateurs. You know, he's just a difficult guy to look good against. And one could argue, Ugas actually had somewhat of a better showing than some of the bigger name guys that he fought, like a Danny, Keith Thurman. And so I'm not going to say he had a better showing than Keith Thurman, but like he held his own in that fight. You know, Sean Porter's a guy we all know like to fight, although when he fought Danny, he got touched by a guy on his shoulders, showed some boxing skills. And it gives Spence, too, to give him credit. You know, he showed some lateral, you know, staging in that fight that I personally didn't think Sean Porter had. But I do know Sean Porter preferred to come forward and mix it up in the pocket with you. Like, that's his preference. That's what he would much rather do. And him and you was for it. I remember you and Rada Dye was in the group chat texting. We was like, yo, why y'all got this fight scored? I'm like, yo, this joint is a lot closer.
Very close.
And what the card is displaying. Now, here's the thing about Crow, and I was joking with Roberto before we got on air, and I said, whoever fights Crawford is going to pay the penalty of him not being able to fight any of those Al Haymon guys, specifically Earl Spence. Crawford is really angry, and when I say he's angry, I mean as a term of endearment, because he's looking to punish people. One of the reasons why he gets into these senseless shootouts sometimes because his emotion, he got so much dog inside of him. Like, Crawford don't have, he don't care about, like, style points, and he don't care about getting his face lumped up. He's a dog. Like, there, that dog inside of him is like, you even hear Floyd when he talks. Floyd lights up when he talks about Crawford because
right,
he's the animal instinctiveness inside of this guy, because Crawford could be like a fool. Not saying that he's on Floyd level, but Crawford has hit, knock, and hit ability, but he don't, he, a dog, fight. Once you punch him in the mouth, like, you're not in a fight with Crawford until he get punched in the mouth. Yeah. And once he get punched in the mouth, you know, kind of like a Tito.
Like,
you know,
I was going to joke about, because ROD always makes a joke about when you knock Tito down, like, he got mad.
Or just started.
Smack him.
Or just started. You know what I mean? The fight just started. And, you know, it's interesting because, and I told you this before we could jump on this, but I said, you, this guy is, he's right there in front of Crawford. So Crawford, guys that don't move against switch hitters and guys that can do all these, he got so many dimensions to him. If you just stand there stationary in front of a guy like Crawford, you're going to get his full arsenal. You know, he's going to figure you out because the guy, he makes adjustments too. That's another thing that a lot of fighters can't do that Crawford can do. That's why the guy is who he is, you know. That's why most people got him a top three ranked fighter in all of the boxing. He just got these abilities to adjust and adapt. And guys that don't move, like a guy like Lewis, who's big and strong, in my opinion, that's a lot more ground for him to cover, which is not good for you if you're a bigger person, because you know the bigger are, the harder they fall, they say in boxing. Mm-hmm. But
right.
I just think that Crawford will punish him. Like, I think it'll be a competitive fight about the first, like most Crawford fights go, for about the first four, maybe five rounds. And then at that point on Crawford going unleash damage on him, man. And I potentially could see a stoppage. Like him just systematically breaking him down and calling out Spence mad yet again.
I think the big thing about this fight is, you know, if it does happen, I mean, it's the size that he'd be up against that we haven't seen Crawford in there.
That's one factor. Yeah.
And you know, it's similar to, he's similar to Spence. He's like 5'9". He has like a 69-inch reach. He's got like a short reach for like a bigger dude.
Cool, big guy, yeah.
But you brought up a great point, man. I think the thing with Crawford, anybody fighting him up to this point, not named Spence, is going to be, again, like we've seen him in fights where he's been staggered, even in this fight with that he had with Mean Machine. Like, he got hurt in that fight. You know,
he got dropped.
Yeah, he got dropped.
Let's keep it above. He got dropped.
He did. And the thing I got, and I told him Star OD, I was like, the thing I got out of that fight, though, was that he gathered himself. He knew he was hurt, and he's like, "Great." And then little by little, he just started picking away, and then you just noticed there were just shots that he started landing where you just started to notice this dude, Mean Machine, was like, "All right, the guy I hurt in the second round, like this isn't the same guy," you know. And I think that's what you have to deal with when you're dealing with Crawford, because we've seen him hurt against Gamboa, and Gamboa was lighting them up for the first three rounds, and he just figured out how to switch it into third and fourth.
Yeah, man.
And that's what's interesting about Crawford. Like, I think with most fighters, a lot of this generation has gotten used to, like, you know, they see Floyd and they see the virtuoso defense, but like that's a credit to Floyd, is how good he is. But most fighters get hit, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not like, I think with Crawford, he engages, like you said, and like he puts himself in the line of fire. But I think there's just little nuances that people miss that I don't see a lot of these other fighters do. And a lot of it is in fight adjustments. And the fact that he could switch, we just need to see him in there with these guys. And at the very least, if it ain't Danny and Sean Porter and Keith Thurman and these guys, who granted, man, like, to be honest with you, not many of them have been like super eager to fight Crawford, you know, and we get the business and the whole, we get it. But the thing with Ugas, and you brought up a good point, he's there, you know what I mean? So I think with Crawford, I don't think it's a deal where he'd go in there and just try to like slug away and kind of enforce his will. I think it'd be a tactical fight that you would see, like, okay, he is the real deal at, you know, at welterweight. The question with that fight too, though, man, is like, I mean, what we were talking before we started is like, do they do that this year? You know, is that like a fight that you would think would be, worthy, you know, but he just is the most likely guy out of that bunch.
No, right. Listen,
you know the business side of it. I mean, he'll make money, but he's not a Danny or a Sean Porter or a level of those guys where it's like getting together with Al and Bob, where it would deem to be a pay per view fight. Like,
I'm still trying to, we're going to try to get some fire in here and get some perspective on this, because you got, I'm going to go in my pocket money, and then I got to go to the investor's money, right? There's a difference.
Yeah.
The fights that's been on that you've been seeing, that's cushion change.
Yeah,
you know, they can go in between the car seats, underneath the couch. That's that type of pay. But when you get into these fights that we're talking about, even the fight like with Ugas and Crawford, what are we talking about? At most, $8 million maybe. Purse collectively somewhere in that figure.
Yeah, I'd be kind of a lot for even for that. I mean, well.
Well, I'm saying, Crawford is going to want.
Yeah.
Three or $4 million, right?
Right.
I mean, that's kind of his norm. What he get off of you know what I mean? And now you asking him to step up, and I get it. He's not trying to hear we're in COVID. Like, I'm putting my career on the line fighting a guy that.
He said that. Yeah.
Oh, he said it? Okay, so I didn't
know. Well, his whole thing was that I forgot who he was telling Chris Mannix, one of these dudes, that he just wants to make sure he's compensated in relation to like what he would say, like when we were talking about the gate. Like, Crawford's a guy that will make something off of the gate, but he's also somebody like in the midst of all this, if he's gonna fight. And this is from a recent interview. He's like, yo, I just want to make sure I'm getting paid, you know, according to what, like, you know, the rate of what I was going to get paid if a crowd came. But it's like, how do you estimate that, you know?
That's where I was going at. So this is where it gets tricky at. So it depends on the promotion company and how deep their pockets is. And now you're playing with your own money. Now, anybody that do any type of business, sometimes you got to put money out. To make money on the back end, just checking the sky, so to speak. So he's putting, if Top Rank is going into their own budget, saying, listen, you know, we're going to go into our own account and cut Crawford this check. We'll get it on the back end because we know we're going to make quadruple this when he fights Spence or whoever he fights in 2020. But that's a decision that's got to be made if they think it's worth it. So that all got to be factored in. So that's what I'm saying. It's a lot of different little pitfalls and pockets when you're dealing with this thing, because it's just not, like you said, it's just not as simple as, hey, let's just throw these two guys in it, because you're not talking about the Maloney twin brothers there for it. You're talking about Terrence Crawford, who don't work under seven figures now. You know, because I think people got this misconception that Crawford is getting paid, like he's not making Floyd type money, but his average payday is like $3 to $4 million.
And I'm glad you brought that up, because I think a lot of times the message board fans and
I know where you're going.
You know what I'm saying? They just think that he would just go sign with Al Heyman, and that's yeah. just what it is. And he would just close his, you know, shut his management out, and he would just go there and in this guarantee that he would fight all these guys, man. I'm like, yo, and you brought up a point. I'm like, y'all don't know, or none of us know essentially what Bud is making, like fight per fight basis. And I'm not just saying the purse, like just right. overall, like
percentage
of backdoor. But I mean, like, I seriously doubt Bud is getting paid peanuts. Like, so yeah, I really thought,
again, you only some of this stuff, believe half what you see, half what you read, you know, however that saying goes.
Right.
But I saw some stuff from, I thought it was a credible situation where the guy was making $2 to $3 million, maybe four in his last week per fight. And I thought, okay, cool. Like Crawford, you know, at least he's getting decent, you know, that's decent money to get paid for a guy that didn't really fight anybody of any magnitude yet. So I was like, oh, that's pretty well. And you're going to be able to cash out with a couple of big fights on the way out the door. But again, circling back to, you know, what you was asking, nobody knows what this is going to look like, because there's how do you pay when there's no, the gate is everything in boxing. Like,
it is.
It's every, listen, the MGM Grand, right? And I tell people this all the time. It only holds 16,000 it holds. Yes. It's always blacked out, so you can't really see. When you go in there, I remember when I went in there, I'm like, this can't be the place where everybody comes to fight at. Like, it was so small when I saw it in person. But, them seats that you see everybody sitting around the ring, 20,000, 15,000. I'm talking about, you know, the bigger fights, you know. And even some of the lower tiers on fight day, like, some of these tickets skyrocket up crazy. So you do the math on that, and not to mention concessions. Because remember, we always talk about this.
Yeah.
About the movies, you and I, we big movie is me and Roberto. And people always like, how do movie theaters make their money? I said, concession.
Of course.
Concession is people want. Why do you think a guy like me and my family, we sneak products in? Don't at me.
Who don't do that?
You know what I mean? But you can't sneak stuff into the MGM Grand because the security is more high.
Yeah, right.
So a bottle of beer may cost you, like, I don't know, $35. But you get what I'm saying. So
yeah,
you get into concessions, you get into advertising, and then you get into the actual ticket price. Do you know how much money that is that they're losing right there? Just off that, those components alone?
Listen, yo, like, I just brought up, like, just an example, okay? Pacquiao Cotto, this was 2009, okay? The live gate, okay, it had 15,000 in attendance.
That's it.
Our apologies for the technical difficulties. I think Train might have bowed out. Hold on, let me see if I can get him back on. Is he there? Yeah, pardon our interruption. So, needless to say, man, I mean, we want to see Terrence Crawford in there with the upper echelon of the division. I mean, I think it's at a point now where it's enough like the finger pointing. I mean, they just have to figure it out, you know. And again, we understand the whole, you know, with the pandemic and, you know, whatever normalcy is going to come out of all of this, really, man. I mean, none of us really know. None of us really know, man. And you know, Train was bringing up perfect examples as far as just sports in particular, just general sports. And listen, you know, boxing has taken a backseat for many years in the United States, you know, for our UK listeners. And that's why I'm thinking, like, we're not going to see high-level boxing at least in 2020, unless they surprise us and they tell us something else. But I just don't see it happening because of things that, you know, myself and Train were talking about as it concerns just the purses, man. And, you know, we're talking about live gates. I mean, I just mentioned the Pacquiao-Cotto fight, almost $9 million at the gate. And granted, Crawford versus whoever is not going to do that kind of money, but it's still the money. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, we'll see. I think a fight with Terrence Crawford and Yordanis Ugas is something that would garner a lot of interest from the hardcore boxing fans. I mean, and if you're going to have a choice between him and Kell Brook, I mean, look, I mean, we could go namesake, you know, however you want, but there has to be a point, particularly with Terrence Crawford, where like you just have to fight the upper echelon of the division, man. And Ugas right now, even though that Sean Porter fight was kind of shaky, he's more of a contemporary. And I always talk about these dudes fighting their contemporaries. And for Terrence Crawford, I think with what he's fought at welterweight, this would be the best competition to date. And it would also be a measuring stick, whether he liked, you know, believes it or not, as it concerns, you know, the PBC. Cause I mean, he is, you know, attached to that outfit. So, you know, we'll see if that materializes. And like with everybody else, whether it's Canelo, Errol Spence, and, you know, the bigger names in boxing, I mean, we'll see how, and Wilder Fury, you know, is that going to happen? Lots of uncertainty. So any case, man, that's the show, man. Follow us at Garjugo Boxing on Instagram. Follow us on Spotify, GYGB War Report Show, Facebook.com/GYG Boxing, YouTube at Garjugo TV. So until next time, we are out. Peace.